This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, and it's such a glorious Friday. Smile! It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, despite the gigantic family fight the Kelly family is currently in, which I will get to in just a little while. The questions are so good today. We're just going to have a blast. We're going to talk more about how communist women see immigrants as rescue dogs. How is it that blue-collar, hard-scrabble cities like Boston go so far left, communist? Let's talk about the communist being allowed to escape the hive mind in his language. All that. Why do the judges do what they do? All that and so much more, including serving soup at a dinner party. All that is still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I'm going to begin with this one because it's so good. Because you're seeing more and more and more. I already played you yesterday, the mayor of Boston, Mayor Wu, coming out. We're going to be a safe place for illegals. It's not obviously unique to Boston. You've seen this across the country. This is Jacob Frey, Minneapolis mayor.
And I want all of you just to know exactly where we are as far as our neighbors go. Minneapolis will continue to be a safe haven for undocumented immigrants. For our trans community.
Why are you gay?
Yeah, you got it. So let's talk about this because there's a lot to this. In fact, it's something I've thought about before. I still think about it to this day with cities like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I adore. You probably know, I've told you before, unless you're a new listener. I grew up until I was 10 years old. I lived in Toronto, Ohio. Tiny, tiny, tiny town you'd never heard of before, right on the Ohio River. And our closest big city wasn't in Ohio. It was, you know, Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland. Our closest big city was Pittsburgh. My grandpa, my dad's dad, Grandpa Jack, he was a season ticket holder to the Steelers, Steeler fan. That Pittsburgh is a place we love. And you think of Pittsburgh in the exact same way. Hard scrabble, steel, tough. That's what you think of. But let's talk about it, because the question is, Jesse, I just got finished listening to your segment talking about the Boston mayor standing with the illegals. My question is to you, how did cities like Boston, New York, places we think of as scrappy and tough, become so, and I cannot use the word that this particular gentleman used, but not so much anymore. How does a city like Boston, how does a city like that turn to some kooky commie mayor woman? How does that happen? Well, first, there's a lot to this. Wussy is a good word, Chris. Yes, we'll use wussy. That sounds like a better word. So there's a lot to this. So let's talk about this. First, remember that your reputation, what you used to be, is not what you still are. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. In New York City, we'll use New York for an example. New York was always thought of in that way. I'm a New Yorker, tough. You think about some tough New York guy, works on the docks, works on this. Well, New York for the longest time was a huge manufacturing city. In fact, I think I may screw this up, but I believe it's Domino Sugar. Chris, look that up. Make sure I'm not screwing that up. The Domino Sugar building in New York City is actually a great example of this. Domino Sugar. If you go to New York City today, and you're down along the river, shout out to the great WOR, by the way. If you're down by the river, looking across the river, I think it's on the Brooklyn side. That's it, Chris Domino Sugar? Man, I'm smart. I knew it. If you look across the river at the Brooklyn side, you see a big building, Domino Sugar. And so you can't miss it if you're in New York. And you maybe think to yourself, wow, that's the Domino Sugar Factory. No, it's not. Last time I was there, I forget what they told me it was, either a mall or a bunch of apartment complexes they're putting up. It used to be the Domino Sugar Factory. Now, just more modern stuff. New York City used to be manufacturing central. Now, it's finance central. If you are a young hotshot, and maybe this is you right now listening in New York City, if you're a young hotshot man, woman, you're working in Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, finance, technology, tech, like modern tech, New York City's big on that. New York is a great place for you to go, earn your stripes, maybe find a wife, find a husband, and then as soon as you do that and want to start a family, you move out of town. That's what everybody does in New York City. It used to be the docks, Domino Sugar. Now, go look at the Domino Sugar building. You won't see a factory there with a bunch of blue-collar workers. Boston went through the same thing. Boston, if you've never been to Boston or know about Boston, and of course, you know, South Boston, the scrappy Boston tough guy still exists, of course, but Boston is a very, very modern city now that is modernized in that way. So first of all, there's the reputation you know versus what it is. And we're all guilty of this. Automatically, when you hear the accent, any kind of a Northeast accent, especially if you're not from the Northeast, the second you hear that Boston accent, that New York accent, Jersey, the second you hear it, you kind of automatically think, probably a tough guy. It sounds like tough, right? Oh, Corey knows. Corey's a Boston guy. Corey, am I wrong about Boston? How it's changed? Yeah, I nailed it. It's times have changed. That's one of the ways it's changed. But there's a second part of it because all the tough guys aren't gone. All the manufacturing isn't gone. For the longest time in America, and this still exists to some level, Democrats were the party of the union worker, the blue-collar union worker. That was always, always, always a Democrat thing. Republicans were against unions. Democrats were thought of as the pro-union party. And so if you were a union guy, you worked on longshoreman, whatever kind of union it may be, you very likely, your dad at least, because he was probably in the longshoreman, I guarantee he was a Democrat. And his dad, I promise you, was a Democrat, because the Democrats are the only ones that fight for the unions. And that was always the way they thought about it. Now, what has happened is, you know how we talked about, remember when we had that talk, I think it was this week, about the signal lag in D.C.? Maybe it was last week, how the politicians themselves, they're always behind what the people are feeling. They don't talk to the people enough. So the American people, for instance, right now, they don't care about foreign policy anymore. They don't care about foreign adventures. But our politicians will still get up and say, Ukraine's the most important thing in the world. Signal lag. They haven't gotten it yet. Well, same thing works the opposite direction with the American union worker. If you are listening right now, and I know we have a bunch of union guys who listen, and I always love that because, you know, I grew up in construction. That's how I grew up. You're a union guy right now. You probably aren't too far on the left. In fact, you probably voted for Donald Trump. But I promise you, you have a bunch of union guys who still vote Democrat, and it probably hasn't sunk in to them all the way. They're voting for tranny crap now. That's what you vote for when you vote for Democrat. The Democrat Party changed the mentality of the union worker, the Boston union guy, the New York union guy, the Philly union guy. His mentality doesn't always change as the Democrat Party changed. And remember, legacy, heritage is a powerful thing. If your dad was in the union for 30 years, and that's very oftentimes how that goes, sometimes you can't even get into these unions without a hookup of some kind. If your dad was in some kind of hard scrabble union in Boston forever and voted Democrat forever, you sat around the kitchen table, and I guarantee you, your dad talked to you about politics, and it was always Democrats. Always. That's how you grew up. Republicans are scumbags. They're against us. They hate the working man. That's why you got to vote Democrat. And that's how you grew up. And it's hard to break those chains. It's hard to break away. I wasn't in, you know, we talked about this before. I was in a very blue collar family, construction family, but we were not heavily political. My parents rarely talked to me about politics ever. We were patriotic. That was always us, but we didn't sit around and talk politics in my house. My dad really never did. But my dad made it very clear we were Republicans. Dad, which way do we vote? Republican. That was pretty much the end of that conversation. And Dad made it really clear that we weren't going to discuss it any further. But I came home and told my dad, hey, Dad, thinking about voting Democrat. Oof. I promise you, things were about to get uncomfortable in the Kelly household. And that stuff you carry with you, putting you on that right path. We weren't heavily political. Just knowing that put me on the path aimed to the right for the rest of my life. So those are really the two big reasons. One, just because the accent remains doesn't mean Boston now resembles Boston of 1975. And unions in these big cities are everything. Unions run everything. If there's a big building going up, there's union work there. Teachers' unions. They're union-type places, which makes them natural Democrat havens. And there's another part of this that can work both ways, both for us and against us. If I have to make one final point on that, why would New York be the, you know, hard, tough guy, but go left? Why would? But there's another part of this that we can use to our advantage. I'll talk about that next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Things are cruising along right now in the country. One final word on this, in case you're just now joining us. I'm kind of answering a question in a long way about cities like Boston, New York. They're thought of as these blue-collar places, but now they're so blue, so far left, it's crazy, and I kind of explained that. But there's one final aspect to this that's bad, but it also can be good if we use it to our advantage. Let's talk about Florida, for instance. We're used to what about Florida now? What is Florida now? It's a guarantee. It's red. It's blood red. In the presidential election, the last presidential election, I don't know that Donald Trump, unless he was going home for the weekend, I don't know that he campaigned there more than once or twice. Why? How could that be? For the entirety of my life, Democrats and Republicans would park their presidential campaigns in Florida. Why? Because there are so many Electoral College votes up for grabs, and you know it's a purple state that could go either way. Little of this, little of that. Remember that Al Gore, George Bush recount that was all about Florida? Oh, we have to have this and look, that did. It came down to one precinct. One, not even one county, one precinct in Florida determined it. Now, it's red. Why so red? Well, this is something Democrats have understood historically much better than Republicans have. When you take power, if you use it to put into place the things your people want, there are all kinds of benefits that come with that, but one of the benefits that comes with it every time is your enemies won't want to live under it and they'll flee, and your friends will want to live under it and they will come to you. In the state of Florida, Ron DeSantis, best governor in the country, got elected and didn't tiptoe, not one little thing at a time. Boom, thing after thing after thing after thing, immediately yanking that state to the right. Not doing that. Well, we're in a purple state. I have to be careful. No, none of that. Full steam ahead to the right as fast as humanly possible. What happened? Dirty communists fled the state because they didn't want to live under that governance. And people, I can't count how many friends I've had that have moved to Florida, all of them hardcore right wingers. Now, no more swing state, blood red. It works both ways. If you're in New York City right now, you don't want to live under that. freaking homeless people everywhere, illegals all over the place, as the city's gone left and left and left and left and left. So what do? Out to Long Island you go. If you have to stay in New York City, you go to Long Island. Boston, same thing. Suburbs, gone. Philly, same thing, gone. They make it so unpalatable for anybody on the right to live there that it ends up benefiting them in the end, because you throw your hands up and say, I don't want to live under this garbage, and you bail. California is about to lose more congressional seats again. Why is that? Because people are fleeing the endless taxes and fees and crime and homelessness. They don't want to live under it. And I encourage you to do so. Like I've told you, move to a red state, go ahead. But in the end, it is sad, right? Because what does that do? It guarantees Democrat rule in California forever. Because 90% of the people leaving are Republicans who don't want to live in North Korea. So they pack it up and they leave and they come to Texas. Now, this benefits us on the right, because then Texas gains those congressional seats. Texas gains power. California loses power. So politically, for a country, it's good. But getting elected and doing the things you promised you would do, delivering for the people who elected you, is a path to more power. Communists have always gotten that. When they get elected, they go all in. Donald Trump, why is it? How is it? He got elected and he's moved way faster than he did before. Boom, boom, boom. You remember day one, stacks of executive orders. Two, just stacked up on his desk. This executive order, that, we're doing this with the inflation. How's it working out for him? Well, here's how it's working out.
Americans' favorable views of the Democratic Party's brand are at a record low, just 29%. That's compared to 36% for Republicans. It is the lowest ever recorded for Democrats in CNN polling going back more than 30 years.
Donald Trump himself is at 52-53% approval rating in the modern era, really the post-Barack Obama era. That is staggeringly high. That's about as high as you can get. Donald Trump's approval rating is maxed out. Democrats are in the toilet. How? He hasn't been tiptoeing. He's been moving really fast. Because people, when you deliver for them, when you deliver for the people who voted for you, it expands your power. If it's stuff the people want, it expands your power instead of crushing your power. Republicans are starting to get this. Trump gets it. DeSantis gets it. A lot of loser Republican governors across the country and Republican legislatures like Texas, we don't. Texas tries to be really nice to the Democrats, and it's going to hurt us in the end. Speaking of pain, I love Relief Factor. I love Relief Factor because, one, obviously I don't want to live with pain, and I've had it same way you do, back, knee, I get it. But I also hate drugs. I despise them. I just don't. I always feel like I'm taking poison when I take one. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It was developed by doctors, but it's 100% drug-free. Natural ingredients that support your body's response to inflammation. Not masking that pain, eliminating it. You take it every day. It builds up in your body. That back pain disappears. That neck pain disappears. You stop rubbing your hands all the time. You can try it for $19.95. That gives you 3 weeks of it to try it. If it works, get more. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can still email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are live here churning through everything. Did you hear Anna Navarro today?
Our police departments in South Florida are signing cooperation agreements to be deputized as ICE. When we, you know, I keep thinking, okay,
this is
going to
be
this
it.
Is yeah. going to change the way folks, they're gleeful. Everybody I know who voted for Trump is gleeful and supportive of everything he's doing.
Exactly what I was just talking about. Why is everybody gleeful? Because Trump's doing what he promised. And we're all stunned because no one does that. They all get elected and they all kind of back off. He's doing what he promised he would do. And this is what the communists, this is what kind of floors me about them right now. They're stunned about the things Trump is doing. He promised, he talked about all this stuff on the campaign trail. I can't count how many times I heard him talk about mass deportation, which no, is not happening yet, but he's deporting people. He talked about tariffs all the time on the campaign trail. He talked about bringing an end to Russia-Ukraine all the time on the campaign trail. None of this stuff. He didn't pull a fast one on anybody. That's what he said he was going to do. And the real lesson in all this for every Republican listening is it's really, really popular to do what you say you're going to do. And it's really unpopular to get to Washington, D.C. and wuss out. There you go. Jesse, as I sit here around the pool in Kuwait with the sun shining down on me, listening to the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, man, Kuwait is so hot. Gosh, it was miserable. I listen to you say how liberal white women look at these migrant barbarians like rescue dogs. And then I thought how women do that with men, too, when they think they can change him. Guy says, anyway, that's all. Well, look, here's the thing. Understand what happens. Understand why the communists focus on young women and why when women go to college, when young women go to college, they get mentally destroyed so often. Completely destroyed, lost for life. We've read you the poll numbers all week. Shocking poll numbers. I think I'm right about this if I remember right. Like, for instance, Trump's approval rating, 41% with white, non-college educated men, negative 38%. With college-educated white women. And if you went down the line of it was every single issue, you looked at this one demographic, college-educated white women, and you thought to yourself, these people are freaking insane. They're the most committed communists, as I've told you about a million times, and they are insane. So what happens? How does that happen? Well, communists use your values against you. I've warned you about that forever. Whatever values you have, they will identify them. They will learn to use that, wear that like a skin suit and use it against you. Hey, you know, Jesus would want you to fill up your country with illegals. They love that kind of stuff. And they do it on deeper levels too, particularly with women. Women are created by God in part to be nurturers, you know, because so many women turn out to be moms. Not every woman, that's obviously true, but women obviously turn out to be mothers oftentimes. They have children. Now, what does a mother do for her babies? Both in human beings and oftentimes in the wild. She will feed them, nurture them, care for them, and she will also fight for them, die for them. The mama bear stereotype is a mama bear stereotype because it's real. If you ever hurt one of my children, yeah, I'd probably torture you to death, but you better hope I get to you before my wife does. Look, I've seen it. Remember when I told you the story when I went to Alaska? I watched a mama bear fight and die for her two cubs so they could escape. That's what a mama bear does. She'll fight. Now, when a young woman goes to college, the communist knows everything I just said. They take that nature, that wonderful nature of a woman to nurture and care for something. And what they do is they take her eyes, they take that nature, and they simply divert it towards something else. Now, instead of a focus on family, children, caring for that, now They get her focused on, I mean, pick your cause, right? Maybe it's the LGBTQ stuff. Maybe it's the climate. They get her focused on that. So, you know what we'll make it about the climate? They get the climate in her mind, and they make the earth, the air. They will find a way to use that motherly instinct and aim it at protecting the planet. And then once you've managed to twist her up like that, now she believes insane things. And now what will she do if you're trying to hurt her kids? That SUV, you just think it's an SUV. No big deal, right? Mama Bear looks at it like you're hurting her baby. And she will hurt you for hurting her baby. Look, how could a woman, I've talked about this many times before when I talk about the most vile, violent, vicious creature on the planet being the liberal white woman. Because they're the only creature. There are all kinds of animals that will even eat their own young. The liberal white woman is one of the only creatures on the planet. In fact, I think it is the only one that will groom her children on purpose for the slaughter. They'll get up and brag. I've got four kids and they're all trans. Bragging about mentally destroying their children. How could anybody be that sick and evil and demented? Well, here's the honest truth. They took her wonderful motherly nature and they twisted it against her own kids. And she still feels like she's the good guy. She feels like, not necessarily those are her kids. Of course she feels that way. But she has a mission in life. And it's not necessarily for her kids. Her mission is the rainbow flag. Her mission is the trannies. And that's what she's focused on. And that's why she will even use her own children to focus on her real babies. And that is the Rainbow Brigade. They take the wonderful, caring, motherly nature of a woman, a young woman, and they bastardize it. They aim her at whatever evil communist cause there is, and then she will fight for that cause like a mama bear protecting her babies. That's what, look, I think it was on Netflix, and I actually think Angelina Jolie made it. There's a movie about Pol Pot's Cambodia. I think it's called First They Killed My Father, or First They Came For My Father. It's heavy, but it's something worth your time to go look at, and something you will know. Is it, Chris? First They Killed My Father. Okay, I got that right. Okay, it was on Netflix. I saw this years ago, so I can't tell you. I'm assuming it's still there. But First They Killed My Father, if you have Netflix. It's about the Cambodian genocide when the filthy commies took over and started killing everybody. And one thing you will notice is how many of the leaders are young women. And you or I, we look at that and we think, well, young women are kind. They're so wonderful. They're so nice. That wasn't the way it was. Oh, it was. You think Mao's the most evil human being who ever existed? Maybe you're right, maybe you're not. I promise you this, his wife might have topped him. Mao's wife was every bit as committed as he was, if not more vicious than he was. You take that wonderful nature and you aim it in the wrong direction, can do a whole lot of damage. You like history? Can learn some history from Hillsdale for free. Hear me out. What if this weekend, when you're looking around, waiting around, trying to figure out something to do as a family, maybe it's board game night, maybe you're going to watch a movie. What if you dedicated just a half hour to Constitution 101? That's one of the free online courses Hillsdale College offers. Constitution 101. No matter the age of the kids, do you think they would get something out of that? Or maybe you want to stay biblical. The stories in the book of Genesis, do you want to learn more about those? Have some more context there? Free. Hillsdale's offering more than 40 free online courses. So many incredible subjects out there. I am almost finished with the fall and rise of the Roman Republic. Oh my gosh, it's so good. No cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is how you enroll. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. All right. The street animals, are they allowed to break from the hive mind? Hang on.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of this hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, but we still have two more left. I was going to get to the street communists and the hive mind, but Jewish producer Chris brought up an interesting question, and there's a question from you that goes along with it. So I just wanted to address this. We were talking about people dying and leaders dying, and Chris brought up Julius Caesar in the Roman Empire. You know, they stabbed him to try to stop Rome from becoming an empire ruled by an emperor, and then it ended up being ruled by an emperor anyway. Pause on that for a moment. We will do a little bit of history on that, give you a little backstory on that. But there was an emailed question that said, Jesse, it sounds like if we get rid of the George Soros problem, we can get rid of the corrupt legal system problem. Who else would fund it? And don't give me that noise about his son is going to take over. We'll get a package deal. Okay, so I think I understand what you're saying, but let me tell you something. And we're going to do just a little, very brief Roman history thing. I have always cautioned you against the use of violence. Always, always, always. I tell you to stay on the right side of the law. Don't hurt anybody. Most definitely don't kill anybody as we are in this game of power we're in, this political game of power. And I definitely get pushback on that sometimes when you feel like you've been pushed too far. But let me explain why. It's very, very, very difficult, almost impossible, to kill your way out of a problem. Did you know that? Especially dudes will find it tempting. And you read history and you kind of find it tempting. But it's very, very, very difficult to kill your way out of a problem. Why? Because killing a man or a bunch of men very rarely will actually stop the ideas those men were championing. Oftentimes, if you kill them, it only makes the idea grow more and grow bigger. That's always how it worked. Chris said Afghanistan. Brother, you can pick your historical area, your historical time period. I mean historical area, I'm talking about location, your historical time period, and you can point to example after example after example, but we'll make this about Rome. A very brief history on this, because I have to squeeze this in quickly before we move on. Rome had been a republic ruled by the Senate for the longest time. And just like here in the United States of America, the Roman Senate turned completely evil, where a bunch of elites existed only to serve themselves. The laws all only served them. They began to smash the traditional Roman citizen in favor of bringing in foreign barbarians. None of that sounds familiar, right? And the people began to get angry and chafe against that. Well, as soon as the people are angry, a person will rise. And people started to rise to represent the people in Rome. And then the Roman elite would kill him. And then another would rise. And then the Roman elite would kill him. And then another would rise. And then the Roman... Why did this keep happening? Because you can beat them to death and stab them and hang them and do anything you want to these people. You haven't addressed the fact that the idea still has popularity and the idea must be defeated. You must present your ideas and defeat their ideas. Otherwise, you can't kill your way out of a problem. And yes, finally, you had one of the great men who ever lived, Julius Caesar, did a bunch of bold, bold things and took over Rome, took over all this power, and the elites decided, hey, this guy's a tyrant. Let's just kill him too. The people will love it, of course, because we're killing a tyrant. Of course they'll love it. They killed Caesar and promptly had to flee Rome because the crowds were going to tear them apart. You can kill all the people you want. That doesn't solve the problem. And so please don't attempt to ever hurt anybody in the Soros family. Not just because it'll get you arrested. Not just because it's wrong. Because that won't solve the problem. If you could snap your fingers and Thanos disappear the Soros family tomorrow, we still are stuck with legions of our fellow Americans who hate the United States of America, think it's kind of an evil place, an evil, racist, misogynistic, climate-destroying, all these things. Millions and millions of Americans still believe this country needs to be burned to the ground. So you can take this leader or that leader and remove them. You haven't fixed the problem. It's why I always laugh when I hear about some new bill in Washington, D.C. of why is Ilhan Omar allowed to be in Congress? Kick her out of Congress. Well, the people in her district choose her repeatedly. Ilhan Omar isn't the problem. It's the morons who vote for her every time. That's the problem. You can vote and have her removed from Congress. And sure, Ilhan Omar will leave. Do you think Thomas Jefferson's going to take her place and represent that district? You haven't eliminated anything. You've just eliminated a person, a man. When we talk about anti-communism and when we talk about politicians, people get mad at me because I don't wave pom-poms for this guy or that guy. Or on occasion, I'll criticize Republicans. You name them, I'll criticize them, including Trump. And they get mad. Oh, you can't do that. Don't do that. These are all just men. I'm just a man. We will come and we will go. We will die. But if we have the right ideas, pushing the right things forward, then that is what will succeed in the end. We're all just flesh and blood and fallible, and we're all going to die at some point in time and or fail. You never know. It has to become bigger than any one man. And that's not to say one man can't help push the ideas forward, that one man can't lead on the ideas. You know, someone like Donald Trump is doing a lot to grab our ideas and yank them in the correct direction. And he deserves all the credit in the world for that. But Trump's gone in 4 years, baby. Less than 4 years. He goes bye-bye. Are we done then? Call it a day? I guess Trump's gone. We're finished. Or do you think it should be about something more than that? You can't kill your way out of a problem. It's almost impossible to kill your way out of a problem. Right? All right. We need to talk finally about the street animals and the hive mind. And I have to address, before I do that, I have to address this soup situation. We got a question that must be addressed. I figure this is actually a very appropriate time to talk about Sheffman. And, you know, I've been discussing the IQ Sense with you. The IQ Sense is a wireless cooking thermometer like nothing you've ever seen before in your life. It's not like any meat thermometer you've ever had in your life. You don't open up the oven, open up the grill, and put this one in, check it, then pull it back. No. This one, and now they have super-duper upgraded ones, third-generation ones. This one can handle up to 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Whatever you're cooking, your steak, your chicken, your whatever you're smoking, grilling, oven, whatever it is, you put it in there and you leave it in there. It connects to your phone, an app on your phone. Your phone will tell you when it's done, and it's done perfectly every time. I'm a moron who doesn't know anything about smoking things. My brisket is known in the neighborhood because of IQ Sense from Chef IQ. Go to chefiq.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 15% off. Chefiq.com, promo code Jesse. Soup next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.